So let me start this. And this was, I think, when I was asked to come down here, this was the first download that we came. And I was mentioning this, I think, to you, Amy, that the message I'm going to share now was, got an angelic assist. A friend of mine had a dream, and she messaged me and said, hey, because she regularly sends me her dream stuff, because I was from that dream deal. But anyway, but her dream, the interpretation for dream was a part of this message. And so I was like, what? So she had a dream that was really was an angelic encounter on the West Coast that I interpreted, which was a piece of the message I'm going to give you today. So, which tells me that, okay, there's really something for y'all. Yeah, and I tell you that when I go places, it's really for the territory. Yeah. And the fact that I was missing it in Virginia and had to get a friend of mine to have a dream to tell me about it, to get the missing piece, mm-hmm. I'm like going, so I was getting excited about, who are these people in Lynchburg or Forest, wherever we're at? So,
can you record this?
I'm recording. You can record. Yeah, record. Everyone
You're
record.
Recording.
You record too, because the last one I'm having to fix record. So yeah, go get all that. So the word that I got was, are you being built or are you being molded? Okay. And so built is good. Molded is bad, because we're going to talk about, you know, Jesus built his church and the world tries to mold you in its image, right? In Matthew, we are all designed to be fashioned and formed, but will you be formed from the internal, which, you know, God in you, right? Or will you be formed by external circumstances, right? External circumstances are, you know, things that happen in life, pressures, people, stuff. But we were divinely created to be fashioned. But will you be fashioned by the Father's hands or by the world's hands? Okay. And I really believe the choice is up to us, okay? In Matthew 16, 17 through 18, it says that in Amplified, then Jesus answered them, you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father's in heaven. And I tell you, you, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, you know, will not overpower it or be strong to deter it or hold against it. So Jesus says, I got this. I will build my church. Now, a lot of times we think that books build the church, your meditation builds the church, your conference going builds the church, your healthy diet builds the church. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, Jesus says, I got this. I will build my church. Now, we need to figure out, okay, am I rightly aligned so that he can build me in the right place? Can he put me in the right city, right county, right state, right country? Or am I, the last message, so intrigued or confused with my traditions, my mindsets, my, that I'm not letting him place me, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Am I running from him in some strange way? Or am I submitting to let him build me? You know, if we're building a building, mortar and brick and stuff, and that's not my skill set, but I do Play-Doh, okay? I do Legos, so, you know, they gotta fit, right? So, you know, are you letting him place you in the right place? Or are you trying to place yourself? Okay? And I'm saying that he's a better builder, craftsman, and architect than you are. Okay? So who is the, in the verse, who is the builder? Jesus is the builder, right? Where does he build? Well, this is a tricky one. I think he needs you to go where he is so he can use you. And he is our Father who art in heaven, right? He's in heaven. And he's in Revelation and invites us to come up. So, but at minimum, I think we got to be close to him, okay? Wherever that is. If it's down the street at Pizza Hut, cool. Get there, right? I mentioned earlier that the founder of YWAM, Lauren Cunningham, his quote helped me make some good decisions. His quote was, if you want the most exciting life, find out what God is doing and go be a part of it. And that helped me leave U.S. and go to Bible school in Sweden, right? Because you only got one life on earth, right? And I don't want a boring life, so I want to, you know, so that helped me. but will you choose to be his product of his work? In Ephesians 2:10 it says, we are his workmanship, created for good work, to walk in good works. Now, will you let him mold you, form you, shape you? Will you let the potter form the clay? Or will you be an arrogant clay and jump off the wheel, right? But when Ephesians 2:10 is one of my favorite verses, or I've known it for a long time, right? And in that part of we are his workmanship, it's really a craftsman, you know. And have you ever gone to either the mall or and see those guys working with the magnifying glass and working with the watches, you know? It's that fine tuning stuff the Lord wants to do, right? Go ahead, you can do it. I believe that the Lord would his desire is to work with you with his hands, right? And not have to use stuff, right? Now we know the scripture, all things work together for good. Mm-hmm. He'll use all of that stuff, but I think his preference is Amos 3:3, come let us reason together. Yeah. How can two walk together unless they are in agreement? He wants that. And what is it again? Relationship, right? He wants you to be close so he can do that, you know, inward surgery and whatever and refinement, right? He wants to not have to work through my football coaches and through my teammates because I'm not talking to him. All right, I'll use your coach. Oh, come on. Coach isn't as good. Coach isn't as sensitive. And I'm running laps to learn some discipline, right? When I could have just learned it from my Heavenly Father who does love me, pure love, right? Not from a coach who's trying to do something good. And people are just, we're not perfect. God is. So if you put your life in people's hands, it's kind of gets some risky there, right? So anyway, Romans 12, the other alternative, do not be conformed to this world. Be not conformed, but be conformed to his world. That's why I added that. Don't be fashioned after or adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its ideals and new attitude. So, on this planet, we make decisions with our will. Everyone has that ability, right? But what do we actively think about? What do we actively prepare for? You know, for tests in school, we spend, going over our notes and stuff. But how much do we do in preparing for life, right? How much do we do in when you find your calling, what are you doing to get yourself ready for your calling? If you don't know your calling, are you asking? I spent probably a good solid 10 years not asking for my call, you know, and probably a year and a half in that 10 years lying about it. You know, as in my friends knew what they're called to do, and I go, oh yeah, I'm called to. What are you called to do? I can't tell you right now. It's so, I get all spiritual. I haven't been released to share what I've been called to do. When I am free, as he leads, I'll let you know. But until then, just pray. And do your call. But yours is good too. But mine's real. I'd go back to my apartment and go,
oh, no.
Everyone's got a life. Football's over. I'm just an engineer now. What am I doing with my time? Oh, I'm going to church on Sundays, going to conference if you want to, go to a concert. What are you living for? I don't know. And I'd go back to fellowship and they'd tell the stories how they were going to go to YWAM or do something or work at this. You know, they had a passion. And I was like, going, oh, I had a passion for football, but it was over. You know, I'm like, well. So one day, out of pure frustration, not godly desire, out of frustration, I said, darn, I'm going to fast. I'm going to take Friday off, and Friday night, I'm not going to the movies, take Saturday off, I'm not going to the gym, and I'm going to seek his face. I'm going to knock on the door. Friday night, got in my apartment, unplugged the TV because I'd be tempted, you know, unplugged it. And I said, I am here. I can speak loud in my apartment. I am here to know thy will. You go, King James. Thy will, O Lordeth.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there. I said, I'm serious now. I want to know. Now, I said it to him serious because in my 6.5 years of college, for my undergrad,
oh boy,
every semester I would say, this is my prayer time. You know, it's finals time. If you're going to come, can you tell me now so I have to study? So, because it'd be a waste of me time to be studying or something, you're coming. So, I wouldn't hear anything, and I go, darn it, I better study. Then I study and do okay in the test, and I go, all right, well, see you next semester. You know, that was my prayer life. And so when I said, okay, I really want to know now, I was like, okay, I'm not playing games. I'm not doing the semester prayer thingy. I'm doing, okay, I really got to know. This is serious. You know it, and I want to know. Now, I don't talk to God, and he never talked to me, so I'm like, doing this. This is how I hear. You squint. What is that? You know, where do you squint for? But what is squinting and hearing to do? But I'm in my room going, I think the squinting for me is I'm thinking that one scripture where there's a writing in the wall. You know, so I'm looking the walls like. And then I've seen all these sci-fi movies where the pictures tilt a little bit. Or it's a tapping, it's Morse code. And maybe it's the Lord trying to talk that way because I'm hard of hearing, right? So I'm like looking for anything.
Too many sci-fi movies, Wallace.
Yeah, probably. And then I hear very quietly, you don't want to know. I'm thinking, now is that the scary voice you don't want to know? Or the, give me that one. You don't want to know. And it wasn't a scary voice. It was this true. I'm thinking, excuse me, this is serious. I'm not going out tonight. This is serious. And I'm fasting too. So, you know, obviously I want to know. And I say, obviously I want to know, I'm fasting, and I'm here. So, I'm back to hearing. I hear it again. You don't want to know. And I'm like, I think we've established the fact I want to know. So now I'm thinking like, now I never doubt myself, okay, which is good and bad. But I'm thinking, maybe that voice is right. Now I'm whispering to myself, do I want to know? Now I literally do this. I do this. And for those who can't see, I pull my shirt up and I look down and I go, do you want to know? And then I say to myself, I don't think I do. I'm afraid. Because my biggest fear was, if he tells me and I don't do it, then I'm really accountable, right? So if I don't know, then I'm not accountable to do. So I was in that loop, right? So then I had to go, gosh darn it, I think he's right. That voice is right. I don't want to know. I got to repent. But you only repent if you really do want to change. So then I had to go, I had to think about it. Do I really, really want to know? Or do I don't really know? Am I really playing that game? So it took me about 20, 30 minutes to decide, okay, I do want to know, even if I'm afraid to know. I confess my fear. So I go, okay, that was tough. Long story short, I do probably another 12 rounds of you don't want to know, I do want to know. And there's all these fears and a fear of going to Africa, the you know, classic we ask guys to send you to Africa. All these things were in me. It was like layers of an onion. And so about midnight or 1:30, I'm exhausted. I'm just emotionally exhausted from this game I've been playing of hide and seek with my calling, if I really want to know. So last round I go, can you please tell me what I'm called to do? And he tells me. And I'm surprised because I was expecting you don't want to know, you know.
No, wait. You're not exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating at all.
You were just going back and forth with, you really want to know.
Yeah.
Do you really want to know? I don't know if I want to know. Do you really want to know? I don't know if I want to know. Do you really want to know?
Well, the first round was I didn't want to know because I was afraid of committing, right? The second round was...
And how did God deal with you with that?
He didn't. I had to repent. I had to confess that I'm afraid.
Okay, so you're just getting downright real.
Yeah. It was like layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of me dealing with me.
This right here is so, to me, is so, what you're saying is so important. I mean, I just want you guys to realize, this is like allowing God to really look at your heart. This is what we need to do.
See, God, here's the deal though. God already knows your heart, but will you look at your heart?
Okay.
Okay, yes. And this is the fear of people have, of looking at the junk. Now, if you look at your junk on your own, it scares you, so you don't look. Okay, and I didn't look. I've been very smart, but I never looked at me. Right, I look at you. I could tell everything about you, but me, you know, I didn't want to face my fears. Right, So I had fears of what if God told me to do something I didn't want to do. What do you do then? Right? What if God told me to do something that I didn't like? Forget to. There's different layers, right? And if you think God is mean, there's a possibility he may tell you to do something that you don't want to do. The exact opposite, right? Right, you know? And so I'm dealing with the... But if you don't ask him, then you don't have to face reality, right? But for the first time in my life, in 1990... I'm facing reality.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. And if you've never ever talked to yourself, and anybody who's emotionally closed up, you don't deal with it. So I was exhausted at about midnight. And when he told me, I was like, really? And I liked it. Which is shocking that God is good. Right? You know? Because we don't think he's good. We think he, you know, any second now. I'm going to get the fruit of my life, right? You know, the spanking, you know. So I go to bed thinking, this is great. I don't have to fast tomorrow. I can go to the movies tomorrow. And even more. Hold on. It's my story. The build-up. And so I go to bed thinking like, but the big deal now is on Sunday when I go to church, I can tell my friends.
Yes.
Now I got to, but I can't do like, God just told me, because that'd be, they know I've been lying for a year.
Yeah.
So I've got to say, I've been released. But I can't do that. So I'm working on that. I got to work on the story, right? But I go to bed very happy. Because Saturday, you work on the story and the build up and the setup and all that. Yeah. I wake up Saturday morning thinking, what a night. And I go over it. And I'm thinking, he's called me to, and it's gone. Yeah.
You didn't write it.
I didn't write it down because I'm brilliant, right? And I'm sitting there going like,
oh, no.
I remember every argument, every, are you sure? You don't want to know? I do want to know. I remember all 6 hours. I'm replaying it. And I can't remember 5 words. And I'm like, I'm retarded.
Retarded.
You know?
Oh, no.
And I don't have any negative confession, but I'm all of a sudden retarded because I can't remember my life, my life purpose. The only thing I need, I can't remember, right? And I'm sitting on the edge of my bed going, what is wrong with me? What, do you not think that your life is valuable? You couldn't hold 5 words in your hand.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going like, oh man, God actually showed up and helped me figure out, you know, and I forget. He can't come back because he's really busy. Well, it's my mindset, right?
It's
you know,
it's with Billy Graham.
And with Billy Graham. You know, and so, and I'm like, I'm sitting in my bed going, like, man, what do I do? And this voice goes, ask him again. You can't ask him again, because it was grace and mercy's one time deal.
Right?
I mean, Jesus died once, you know, and I'm like, I can't ask him again because he's busy. And you know, it was like a favor he did with the first time, you know, and it took him a long time to work with me. You know, and I'm like, well, I thought, and so maybe it's worth it. I don't know. Right? What if he says no? You know, I'm afraid again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go, this is true. Excuse me. I know you're very busy. And I thank you for last night, but I have a problem. I lost, forgot the most important thing ever. I know you're not supposed to tell me again, but if you could maybe just this one time make just, mercy, you know, he tells me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. It's all day Saturday, I'm excited, right? Because now, not only did I hear it last night, yay, but I got pardoned and I got it again. It's a great day Saturday. And I get my story ready for Sunday. I wake up Sunday morning, guess what?
You didn't write it down
again. Didn't write it down.
Again?
Again. Why would I? I'm Wally Johnson. I know everything, you know? And a second time, you know? So, long story short, for the next 7 days, I forgot every morning. Day four, I finally write it down. Day four, I'm like, look, I have no idea what's going on, but can you tell me one more time? Because this is just ridiculous, you know? There's something going on here. It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. So the first 3 days, I'm like, please, sir. Could you, you know? Day four, hey, I am retarded mentally. Yeah, and if you don't tattoo it right here really quick, something. And so he tells me again, I jump up, and I even think something's going on for 4 days that I would go get a piece of paper this big and write it, you know.
That's right.
Well,
but you did not.
I did not. I'm running around the house. Now I'm a degreed engineer. I can't find any paper, you know. And I'm like running around, you know. And I find some paper and I tear off a corner. For those who can't see, it's a small piece. And in my mind, I'm thinking it's going to go away. I got to write down really quick because it has gone away. And there's it could be, you know. And I'm like frantic looking for a pen, and I write it down. I'm thinking, where do I put it? You know. And so I've got my bathroom. It's a 2-bedroom apartment, 2 bed. And I'm going. I'm in my bathroom. I go, the drawer. There's nothing in this drawer. I open it up. I put the piece of paper in the drawer. I close it. Open it. So there. Close it. Open it. There. Day four, day five, I wake up, gone. Not the paper, my mind. I go, open the door, he's there. This happened for 7 days straight.
That is so weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. So I'm freaking out, going like, why can I remember calculus and all kind of formulas and stuff, and da-da-da, all my P&P stuff, and I can remember everything but 5 words. You're called to equip believers for victory.
Yes.
Equip believers for 5 words. I can't remember 5 words for 7 days. Mm-hmm. Well, every night they go away. So Sunday or Saturday, I'm like going, what is wrong with me? And that was my prayer. I'm speaking to space. I don't know who. I'm thinking God's tired of me because, you know, I can't talk to God because I'm bothering him for 7 days about this simple thing. So I say, what's wrong with me? And just as I say that, the scripture comes to mind of, it's either Matthew 4 or Luke 4 about the sower sows the word. Mm-hmm. When the sower sows the word, the birds of the air come and pick it up. Okay? And I was like, what's that mean? The Lord said, whatever words which are valuable to me, the devil's a thief. Mm. I'm like, it's just 5 words. It's my identity. Mm. The most valuable thing out there. So when you find out who you are, you have to guard that thing. Mm. You've got to keep that thing. You've got to do whatever it takes because that is very valuable. If you don't count it as valuable as the enemy does, he will steal it. So after that, that became my little tag phrase and my little everything. And I got a scripture and I'm, you know. But you've got, this is why, this would be the only reason I get a tattoo if I want to make something that valuable. But, so, that's the battle between the external and internal, right? I was trying to hold it in my head and not as valuable as what it could be. And my brilliant head failed me, right? Failed me. Because your brain can't hold spiritual things. You're a spiritual being. Your identity is in heaven, not on earth. Now, you may be a great hockey guy or a football guy or engineer guy or enterprise architect guy. You may be a great mom chef. Great. And that will change a realm, but not all the realms. When you walk in who you're called to be, you're affecting your life and releasing freedom in life everywhere.
Thank you, Lord.
You make a difference.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. When you start walking as Wonder Woman, And the Avengers will come. And things will go forward. You know, it's like, what? You told other people? Yes.
Sorry, Wally, keep talking.
That's right. I'm here to reveal secrets. And so, that's right. So Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, okay? Don't get fashioned after the, or adapted, it's external, superficial customs, right? You've got to renew your mind by its new ideals, and those attitudes and ideals are from heaven. Whatever you got to do, Father, you know, if you can help retarded Wally, you can help me. Okay? This is just true. You've got to hear, you've got to know. You've got to hear, and you've got to know. There are no excuses, right?
No.
Do whatever it takes, right? So that you may prove yourselves what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing, da-da-da. Okay. So if the Lord has a plan and wants to mold you to what he's got, and the world's trying to unmold you or conform to its deal, we're going to talk about a little bit more where is the Father going to take you about this journey, okay?
Let's stop it.
And I call it really the journey to light, okay? We know in the beginning, in Genesis 1 through 4, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and God said, let there be light, right? Mm-hmm. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, okay, not just the sky from heaven, and comes down from the Father of lights. So the Bible says one of God's names is the Father of lights, okay? Now, for years, I thought this is a nice term, you know, but it's not just a nice term. It's a clue of who you are. If he's the Father of lights, he's producing lights, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, to me, that was still kind of weird and new agey until I read this verse in Hebrews, and I'm still trying to embrace this because it's blowing my mind. Okay, I'm not going to blow your mind too. So let's all get blown together.
Yes.
Right? Hebrews 1:3. This is speaking of Jesus. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. In my Bible, it says he is the light being. I went, what? That can't be in my Bible. That's too radical, you know. Jesus is called the light being. LIGHTBEING.
What version do you have?
Amplified.
Oh, the Amplified.
So he's the light being, the outrain or the radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. I'm like, if Jesus is the light being and we're called to be like him, and God's plan is to conform us to the image of Jesus, what? Okay, wait a minute. So God's plan is to make me like Jesus, and Jesus is the light being. He wants me to be like a light. Ponder. Matthew 17:2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shined as the sun. It's kind of bright, you think?
Yeah.
It's kind of bright light, right? I was at church once, my church in D.C., my friend's church in D.C., and they had a guest speaker, and they gave paper and crayons to all the kids, and the lady said, as the lady's speaking, I want you to draw what you hear. And I thought, hey, how come the kids get to do it? Okay, well, here's some paper and crayons for you too. And so I thought, yeah, because I wanted to practice drawing too. And so in that, while she was talking, I drew a bridge and I drew a building, and the building was some church. And on the building, I made a sign that says, required, must wear sunglasses. Because inside the room, people were so bright, you needed protection for your eyes. Mm. Okay? And that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. Because I believe we're supposed to be that shiny bright. Right? Mm. So Jesus was bright like the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Because so whatever was inside, it was coming out so bright, it made his clothes look white. Right? Then you got Acts chapter 9. Paul, or Saul, is running around killing people. As he saw journey, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him about a light from heaven. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? And the Lord says, I am Jesus, whom persecutes you. So in some translation says, a bright light, ball of light hovered around them. And that's freaky. That's UFO weirdo stuff. You know, just is. But I'm thinking like, who is this Jesus, the light being, that showed up as light and spoke to Paul out of light? What's going on here? So I'm not saying that, you know, go out and buy, you know, posters of light or, you know, I'm going to be like that. I'm saying be open to let him make you in his image. Don't say, I want to be like Billy Graham or like Wally or like Ian or like you name your favorite person, like Nancy. You need to be how he wants you to be. Be open to that. Don't compare. Don't conform. Don't let stuff make you, right? Let him form you. And that's your choice. Okay? That's the choice, the power you have. Now, if you think Jesus is a blonde guy walking around with sandals and a robe, and that's your image, then you're not limiting the Father to making you a blonde guy with a robe and sandals. One day, I was doing a Bible study of sorts at this lady who, wise mother, she thought, how can I protect my son? He was a very popular football player in high school. And she didn't let him go over to girls' houses because girls are evil. We all know that, right? Very protective of. So what she did, she was a phenomenal cook and opened her doors for everyone to come to her house. So she was the house for food and the most popular kid in school. Now she thought, okay, I've got the kids. I now need a pipe piper. So I'm at church minding my own business, being Wally and playing around. Wally, come to my house on Wednesday nights. Why? I have food. Okay. So I show up her house and there's like me, college kid, and all these high school kids. I'm like, she goes, talk to them about stuff. I'm like, oh. So somehow she saw my gifting. I didn't know my gifting. This is before I knew anything, right? So I'm just talking about Jesus, and then I'm walking through. It was like a living room like this, but it's a sea of kids, right? So I'm walking through, and I go, da-da-da-da. And you know, Jesus is as dark as me, da-da-da-da-da. And this kid goes, whoop. Excuse me, Mr. Wally, did you say Jesus was as color as you? Yeah. And da-da-da-da. And they hang, excuse me. what are you saying? I said, well, you don't think Jesus is blonde and blue-eyed and white like you, do you? All the heads, yeah. Because the stained glass mirrors in the Baptist churches are all blonde hair, blue-eyed kid, right? And so these guys were trying to be conformed in an image in a stained glass window, right? Not good. Some of us are past that and we're conformed in a New Testament view of how things are. But Jesus says, I want you to do far more works than I did. So if you limit yourself to what you just read in the Bible, which is pretty hot, then you're also limiting God. Will you let him expand your mind? Will you let him share with you wild testimonies? Will you let him show you things? Will you let him, or will you be afraid? Will you be concerned? Will you be afraid of what people think? It's your choice, right? I'm pleading with you to be open. Not to me or any cool teacher, but to him. He has a desire and a dream for you. But you have the power to say no to his dream. I'm asking you to say yes to his dream. And when you feel like not saying yes, say yes anyway. Okay? The Father's goal, I believe, what verse is this? I have no reference. It's verse 45, and I have no idea what chapter it is. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, it's in Corinthians, the first man, Adam, became a living being, an individual person. We all know Adam. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. And I was telling you about your water. This is my new verse of the picture that I want to be. I want to be a life-giving spirit. I want to be someone, where if I walk into Walmart, I'm just saying hello and someone's life's changed.
Yeah.
You mean Amen. You're going to share the gospel with them? I want to share life with them.
Yes.
I want to transfer life.
Yes.
You know, if a smoker can transfer secondhand smoke. I want to transfer secondhand glory. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I want to do. Right. I want to walk in and just go, hello. You know. And there's the people in the in our 100 years that Maria was with Eder. Mm-hmm. She, this is still freaking me. How can you be on a train going through a city and a housewife is cleaning her condo apartment, go into a trance because you were within a 50-mile radius? The glory of her life had a 50-mile radius. You're not, no CDs, no MP3s, no worship music. You got a lady minding her own business with a mop, right? And then, can you imagine the husband coming home? Honey, I'm home. Honey. His wife's off someplace in some planet because someone gave their life and let them be molded. And then a whole generation's changed because the glory of her had a 50-mile radius. What if it's only 10-mile radius? And they exaggerated, you know. We even start thinking about that. Will you let the light of his glory, he abides in you, come out? And we all have a different facet of him, right? I mean, the way Marie Wethetter function will be different than the way you function, the way I function is different. But there's your way, right? You only find your way in him. Your life and your way and your style is hidden in him. You're a unique facet of his light. Mm-hmm. Just like a light going through a prism, it goes, you're that unique. Right? That was pretty cool.
That was so cool.
Timing.
Anyway, so, but it's a choice. You know, he's already picked you to be on the starting team. It's not about you going to make the team. He's picked you, but will you play? Mm-hmm. You know,
come on.
That's, I mean, that's like, I mean, as an athlete, it's like going, what? I heard a teaching, it's called the Dragon Slayer Generation. And
who taught that?
I don't know. It was a long time ago. It was pretty bad, but it had a great title. But I remember the last 15 minutes of the deal. It talked about if you were the coach in the NBA Finals, it's the last 3 minutes of the game. Who do you put in the game? I'm like, you put in Curry. You know, you put in. You keep your best players in the field, right? And the guy goes on and says, okay, now God is an amazing statistician, warrior, general. He's got this battlefield deal. It's the fourth quarter, 3 minutes ago. Who does he have on the field? He's got Wally Johnson. Now, I would have picked Paul, David, some of the guys, some heroes, right? But the father who could have had anyone on the field right now has got you.
Yay.
And you. And you, not you, but you, Wonder Woman, and you, and you, and you, he has his best team on the field right now in the last days. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. He sees something in you that you don't see. Therefore, ask him, what do you see in me? Who am I? Mm-hmm. He knows. You don't know who you are. Because you wouldn't pick you. Right? You wouldn't pick you to be where you are now. You wouldn't pick you to be in the U.S. to change this whoever wins the election deal. You wouldn't pick you.
Wait.
What?
Is it possible that we could have chosen to be here when God asked us if we wanted to come now?
It's a choice.
Mm-hmm. So then we did choose to be here now.
But why do we act like we don't choose? We forget. We've forgotten our choice.
We've forgotten our identity. That's why we're here.
So now we need to re-choose. We need to sign back up. Mm-hmm. We need to believe things like, okay, if I made a contract earlier and I've been acting like I didn't, my bad, I'm glad I'm here. Can I get a refresh? Can I get a new mind? Can I renew my mind to go, I want to be here versus I want out of here?
I mean, oh, escapism?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you could all count on your hand how many Christians have said in their mouth, hopefully it's none of you, I just want to get out of here. Mm-hmm. It's too hard. I want out now. Mm-hmm. You know, don't raise your hands. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, like, That's a popular mindset. And the pressures are that intense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is that tough. But is it possible that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world? Mm-hmm. Is that possible? If it is possible, we need to figure out how that works real quick and tap in and go, right? So,
come on.
There's more, but I want to pause there to see kind of thoughts, any questions, or should you really check out and go, well, I'm not supposed to be here. I was supposed to be in the third quarter. This is the fourth quarter. I messed up. My bad. Okay, well, you can leave. But that's not true. Because those decisions were made in full knowledge and omnipotence of the Father and made impossible for you when you should be here. And so now we don't have the same mindset. We can get there. But once you figure out you're supposed to be here, you've probably spent 20 years figuring out, oh, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And that's 20 years of waste of figuring out stuff or overthinking, right? Mm-hmm. So, again, I would just say that it's when you choose to, I guess, set your mind on things above. Well, let me read this verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I guess it's verses 44 through 48. Not my verse. Read 48. Now, those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of the dust, earthly minded. But there is a man from heaven, so also are those who are also heavenly minded. So you can choose to be earthly minded or heavenly minded. Okay. I'm saying better choice is to go heavenly minded. Mm-hmm. But it's your option, right? We can see things naturally and kind of work our way through earth time, but we have the advantage in John 7 or 17, Jesus says, it's to your advantage I go. It's to your advantage I send the Holy Spirit. I don't leave you orphanless. Right. It's to your advantage. I grew up with people thinking like, man, if Jesus was just here, if I could just talk to Jesus, Jesus. And Jesus says,
No,
it's better that I'm not here and I've seen the Holy Spirit. I have people that fight over that. It's not better. I'd be better off if Jesus is here. I've thought that. I have, honestly. No, I haven't thought it that long, but I thought it. I haven't fought over it, but I've had some friends to fight over it. So strong discussions about...
It would be pretty awesome to be with Jesus while he's here.
But then Jesus goes, no. I mean, is that weird, though?
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, no, I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not arguing with Jesus, but I'm thinking still, it'd be kind of cool. But he said, to your advantage. But anyway... You can have the conversation later with him.
Yeah.
So, did you really mean that? Or were you just saying it for the press? You know, whatever, you know.
What was that scripture again? 1 Corinthians what?
15:48. Thank you. Any thoughts on this little deal? I see a hand.
Yeah.